Blog Talk Radio. To Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is none other than Minister Sadie Elliott. And welcome to Joy and Peace today. I am glad you stopped by the site today. We have a wonderful topic for you today. We also have a guest that's in tune. When I give him the phone, he's going to just take over. But before we do, let's have a word of prayer today. Oh, gracious Father, we come, Lord, in the most humblest way that we know how. We come in lifting up your name to Heavenly Father, giving you all the praise, giving you all the honor, Lord, because you are worthy to be praised, Lord Jesus. You saw fit to wake us up this morning and start us on a brand new day. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you for it. And, Lord, as we go further into the Word of God today, talking about shepherds, the Heavenly Father, lead myself and my guests, the Heavenly Father, to dig deeper into the Word of God, the Heavenly Father. Bring forth out of the Scriptures which you would have the listeners to hear today and to apply themselves, the Heavenly Father, in the precious holy name. Amen and thank God. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Well, praise be the Lord.
Praise God. This morning we have our pastor, evangelist, Richard Byron, that will be with us today. He will be dissecting the Word of God to you, bringing it forth like never before, like God have given it to him. And in between our time, pastor and evangelist, Brian, anytime you need me to step in, just let me know. But before you start, let me tell the audience today a little about the shepherd. In case you have forgotten, in the Word of God, in Psalms 23, the Word of God said, the Lord is my shepherd. May be the most widely known line of all the Bible. Generation after generation, both Christians and non-Christians alike, have taken comfort and encouragement for David's portrayal of God as a faithful and a compassionate shepherd. This despite the fact that the majority of people living in urban and suburban areas around the world have never seen a flock of sheep, let alone a shepherd tending his animals. Such is the power of the shepherd image in the Scripture. So today, we're going to let our guest come on, none other than Pastor Evangelist Richard Byron, that will come on and lead you in to the shepherd today. I turn it over to you.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. We thank God for being the opportunity to share some things with you through the Word of God. We thank God how God has been wonderful to us and how He's omnipotent. He is a God that promises. He's a God the same today, yesterday, forevermore. And we just want to inject some things into your heart that God is a God, what you call, He is the chief shepherd. He's the watchman. He's to watch everything that's going on concerning about the world and the things that are happening in the world. But God puts shepherds. He made that. That's one thing that God called shepherd. That's Sister Sadie was saying that the book of Psalms, the 23rd Psalms, was saying that how David said, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." Now that's a great passage of scriptures. And even though the word said God said He will supply all our needs, that's in Philippians 19 verse of Philippians, and that's the 4:19. And it's referring to the needs of people. Without a shepherd, we would know how to really to enter into God's presence or into God's kingdom. God put shepherds here for a purpose, even though He put the fivefold ministry, but the shepherd is God's chosen one that lead the people into the kingdom of God and to share what the word says, that they are the one that's what you call the watchman over your soul and the one that keep you before God. Now, we notice that when God made the statement, used Jeremiah, when He was speaking to Jeremiah in the 3rd chapter, Jeremiah, and the 15th verse, He was saying to Jeremiah, to speak to the people of Israel, was saying that, "And I will give you pastors." Now, He said, "I will give you pastors according to my heart." So He said, according to His heart, He gave us pastors, which shall feed. What are they going to feed? They're going to feed you what? He's going to feed you knowledge. They're going to feed you understanding. So you got to have knowledge. You got to have understanding about where you're at with God, or knowing the step of God, how to enter into God's presence or into God's will, or you stay in the place where God put you at that you could be teachable. So if you didn't have a shepherd, you wouldn't really know how to present yourself before God, because He would have to present you before God. Other words, we're saying that He would have to give account for everything that you have done here in planet Earth. And when God asked Him that, and He would show how faithful that you was unto God. You've been faithful to God, and God called you, and you were faithful to the pastor. The pastor, He was the one that you would looked up to have be as a watchman or the needs. So the pastor's there to help. He's a helper. He's a helper when you're going through. You hold on. That's almost like when Jesus made the statement in the book of John, the 10th chapter of John, and He said that I am the good shepherd. That's 10:14 of St. John. Jesus made the statement. He said, "I am the good shepherd." Now, if He's the good shepherd, we shouldn't want to go to another shepherd. But even though He was the chief shepherd, and He gave rulership over the shepherds here on earth, that they was following in the same pattern that He was in, or doing exactly what He said, or we supposed to be imitators of Him as being a shepherd. But God look at the shepherd as the watchman, as He began to start doing exactly what He says to do. When Jesus made the statement, He said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." Now, He said, if He's the good shepherd, He knows His sheep. Otherwise, He knows who's in charge, or who's He called to be in charge, to take on the model role of learning how to be followers. Now, the shepherd, He's the one that proclaiming to be just like Jesus, or proclaiming to be a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he must follow in the footsteps of a man of God. He should have great leadership that people follow the Christ in him.
That's
but
right.
If he's not have the Christ within him, you should not follow him. You should follow the Christ in him, not as he is a man, even though God using it as an instrument or a vessel or meat for the master's use, but still have to be leadership, and he had to know the difference between how to treat the sheep. Now, you can hurt the sheep by things that you say. A pastor can hurt the sheep, may not know they hurt the sheep, but that's they got to give account when they, you know, when they seek God or when they stand before God. Sometimes God sends someone there to help the pastor out. The pastor don't have it all. He don't know everything. He needs help in there, mm-hmm. because he's short at some point. Because he always, you got leaders that know what the word says, but somewhere in their life they have problems. They mm-hmm. have errors in their life. They can't esteem it greater. You can't see yourself, but someone else see you, and you can't hide nothing, because if you proclaiming that you are the leader, well, God called you to do the righteous before His people. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would have, if you don't do righteous before God, that's where the fall comes at. Well, you lose, and you more or less in self. If you get in self, you lose the ingredients in our God. You take an old model role of yourself, even though you may know the scriptures and everything, and line it up with the scriptures and everything. But a shepherd must be the one, be very careful how he treats the sheep, because he can damage the sheep or cause the sheep to leave the house because of what he's doing, or he's not living the right way because he wants to live in his own ways, and it's not the ways of God. Because you have to have the ways of God to be a leader. You just can't lead people any kind of way and expect them to follow you. And eventually, what you have in secret will eventually come to the light. Whatever you're trying to hide, it'll come to the light. Because if you keep doing what you're doing, eventually you're going to have a fall somewhere. A great fall, and you'll fall because it'll be the fault would be on you because you didn't obey God. Because if you don't obey God, you can't obey the Word of God. Because the Word of God you have to give an account for the things that man of God has to give account for the things that they do in this life and the things that they've done in the past. They get an opportunity to get it correct, because you always you need God. Because he's the teacher. Without him, you're nothing. But you got to have him as a teacher. He is that one, excuse me. Mm-hmm. He is that one. He's a leader. And we follow leaders. And if you have, if the man of God falls in love with God, if he falls in love with Jesus, when you have that same compassion as Jesus had. But if he don't fall in love with Jesus, he just fall in love with flesh.
That's right.
If you fall in love with flesh, flesh will not take you to heaven. Spirit will take you to heaven. The flesh has no dealing with the spirit. God don't deal with the flesh. He deal with the spirit. Man has to be born into the spiritual realm to know who he is in Christ.
Because you can't play
one way and then play the other way. You got to come all the way. You can't just have half-hearted. It depends on how the shepherd feeds. And God holds the shepherd responsible how he teaches the people. Because if it's not taught by the Spirit of God, well, you're teaching in your own, what you call your own knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And your knowledge is not greater than God's knowledge. And the knowledge of God is the one that's what God dealt with, and it's almost like when Paul said to, I believe in the book of Ephesians, he was telling that first chapter, he was making a prayer, and Paul was making the prayer to them that said that, and mentioned about, he said, now you remember me in making mention in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, what is the hope of your calling, which is the riches and glory of the inheritance of the saints. That was a prayer made unto the Ephesus church, that people have the, by being having knowledge of God and wisdom of God, God had to give it showing you how through a pastor will give you revelation from God through the Word of God, that you get a clear understanding how to live according to God's Word. And the pastor is God's heart, and He holds them how they teach people. Lots of people have failed because of the teaching that they didn't understand what they're saying, or they put so much on it that they don't get a clear understanding. But see, God, Jesus used parables.
Yeah.
He used parables to break it down to people get a clear understanding. He never go over people's, way over people's head. He just brought it down to a level that they would know what the kingdom about, what a person had to, how to live, and how they take on the character of God. Take the character of God and live just like Him, because you open your heart up for God, that God can do things in your heart. That's almost like when you look back when Book of Genesis, how God uses Joseph, for example, Joseph and his brethren. But Joseph was dealt with, well, you know, he was sold as a slave, but God was dealing with Joseph back in the time of when Pharaoh's time back then, and he was making a statement about the Pharaoh in that time with the brethren, and telling them about that Pharaoh was going to ask questions what their occupation would be. And he was explaining some things to them about their occupation, how they could present and tell Pharaoh about that they were shepherds. They was, you know, they had cattle and stuff. They was over the really they was going into a place what you call a training atmosphere of what God was dealing with Joseph about. So God, He deals in avenues with peoples, with especially pastors. Pastors are more valuable because they have the call on their life, and they have to give account for what areas they in. It's almost like if someone leave the church, or somebody's hurt real bad, or and left, and the pastor's responsibility to go get that person and bring that person back. And if that person needs be met, he needs to sit down and talk with them.
That's right.
And God calls a pastor to be the one that he's supposed to take care of the thing of what you call the preaching part.
Mm-hmm.
Or the teaching part. That's why God put helpers in the church. That's almost like when Moses, in time of Moses' time, that he was trying to do everything all at once, but God, how Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, got dealt with him by getting men set up in different areas to be, that it wouldn't be a pressure on Moses. So God, he put, in the church world, he put pastors to seek God. And they put a staff in the church, which is called the secretaries, and you got men that is called into the to be help in the church, or the secretaries to take care of the church, and you got ones and, you know, other things that way the pastor would have to have no dealings in that part. He would have to have to deal in about teaching the people, teaching the absolute of God's how to live.
That's
because
right.
When you get tangled up, when pastors get tangled up with other things in the church world, well, that slows the process of God down.
God
sent the helpers there. He sent the helpers there to be a help to be, well, it wouldn't be a burden on him, that all he got to do is seek God, stay in God's presence. God would drop the word into his heart, what he would speak on, talk on, to edify the church, build the church up. To be a point when things going bad, that God was showing, revealing to him. When you're seeking God, when you're totally committed to God, there's things that God revealed unto you. But you can't live just like anything in coming down to God's word, and especially in pastors.
Right.
Pastors is more valuable to the church because they're the leaders. When you're a leader, you got responsibility. It's responsibility on every area of your life. You got responsibility on how you carry yourself and how you speak and how you talk to people. And you can't have a grudging type of spirit. You got to have a loving kind of spirit. That's why he was talking about that godly love of God.
You get a
godly love of God, you're willing to walk in the statutes of God, doing His will and pleasing Him in every area of your life. The Lord that we serve, He's a God, omnipotent God, and He would do what he said he would do. Now, that Jesus was making that statement, that I am the good shepherd. Now, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that is good in God, God made him a shepherd through the goodness of his heart. And God look at the heart. He look at how the pastor responds. How do he do, or what do he, how do he live? Are he doing undercover stuff, or are he doing things that don't want people to see, or he's doing things that's just to be satisfy himself, or think he can know too much, or you can get so high up and you forget about God.
Yes.
Because you forget about where he brought you from. You didn't break yourself away with you. God brought you out of that. You didn't do it yourself. It was God
that's
done.
Right. That's
because
right.
Without God, you can't survive. You can't make it without God because he's the God of your life. He's the one that brought you out of darkness. He brought you into the marvelous light. The light that you see is the light of God. And you cannot hide nothing from God. You can make cover. You might hide things. From the people, but nothing from God. Because God, he reveals. Because he's revealing God. He reveals the life. Where he reveals your life, he knows the story. He knows the story about your life and all the hang-ups and everything. And you wonder why these things happening. Well, you're not listening to the voice of God. If you listen to God, listen to the voice of God, a stranger, you would not follow. You wouldn't follow the stranger. You'll follow God because God, he's a leadership. He's a leadership in your life. He made you for what you are today. If he calls shepherds, shepherds got to be obedient. They got to be obedient to the word of God because if they don't, that responsibility that they're supposed to be in with God, God will show his wrath upon them because the wrath of God, he's not playing with shepherds. Shepherds are the greatest thing, the leadership. Moses was a great man of God. Moses led the people out of Israel, and he brought them to the promised land.
That's right.
He brought them to the land but Moses didn't enter in because of something that Moses didn't do. He didn't do what he was supposed to do for that. So he passed the mantle on to Joshua, and God passed the mantle on to pastors to carry out the duty of a calling on their life, and then their life will be a change in their life. You can't serve two masters. You either love one or hate the other. So you got to live the life according to the scriptures. As the scripture says, he said, I am a good shepherd. Well, he's a good shepherd over your life. That means that you have to do exactly what he tells a shepherd to do. The shepherd got to know the difference between himself, and you got to know the difference between the Spirit of God. A lot of people say they don't know the Spirit of God, but have you really tried the Spirit to see it really is it's really of God?
Mm-hmm.
And know that God, if you really know it's of God, you will obey the Spirit of God. You wouldn't follow another spirit, but you stay in tune with God because he is the one. He is the one that made you. He's the one that brought you out of what you was in. You couldn't bring yourself out, so God began to use you, and God used you in the fivefold ministry. He builds you up, and that's what God's looking for the church. He's looking for a strong church. He's not looking for a weak church, but he's looking for a
strong
church.
Yeah.
Somebody that's really standing for the word of God. Nobody give in to Satan's satanic powers, but stand assured on God's promise. And we we're looking in the book of Luke. Luke was talking about the two, that second chapter of Luke in 2 and 8. He made a statement in there. He said, now, and there were in the same country shepherds, and they abide in the field. They keeping watch over the flock by night. Now, you seen what they're saying. It was shepherds back in that time. And they was the watchmen over the flock by night. They watched, they made sure they was secure. Because when you ain't secured in God and shepherds, knowing that the sheep, that's almost like you said, the sheep, is unguarded. Well, they say like sheep, like wolves come in and they will try to overtake the sheep or drive the sheep out because they don't have no watchman.
Yes,
the watchman is the one that has to be on the tower all the
that's
time.
Right.
You got to constantly
right.
watch. Watch the people in your Watch people in your church. Watch who comes in, who goes out. The watchman got to be spiritual discerning, where he can see things that's not of God. He got to be to the point that he'll know God.
He knows the difference between God.
You got to express the thought to God and be careful for nothing, because you got to be it's a deceiver out there.
Spiritually,
a person is not watchful, well, he can be deceived. He can be deceived by the word. A shepherd can be deceived. He may not know that he's deceived. Well, he's deceived when you do wrong. You've got to be deceived. Because if you know what it says and ignore it, well, you're ignoring God's word, because you're not following God. You're following that spirit. That spirit drag you out of the church, and you won't stand. You won't be really standing on the promise of God. You'll be standing on the what you hear, what you see, what kind of thought to come into your mind. But when you get locked in with God, God always, his direction is to open the eyes that you see things that spiritual. That's why the shepherds all shepherds everywhere. You must get close to God. Otherwise, you got to turn things loose and let this world loose and live the life of God. Live just like He wants you to live. Live in Him, and that He'll live in you. That He'll guide you. He'll show you when you're going through your problems that you can't see, that you can't solve it. You turn it to God. And God, He turns things. You have favor with God, and you know you can. You have obtained favor with God, because if you love God like you say you love God, if God manifests some things into your spirit, your spirit cannot be the same anymore. There's a transforming in you, and your mind begin to think clearly on things of God when you got a problem. And then the shepherds go through a lot of problems. But some don't tell the church about it. They have people within, and some will take it to God, and knowing that God would work this thing out for them. And next minute, God is doing what He said He would do. He's working it out, and He's setting you free from all that, because the Word, what the Word do is to bring you out of what you in, and it'll open up some things to you that will cause you not to turn to the left or to the right, but you keep focus upon God. And you, if you do exactly what when we was talking about the book of Luke was explaining to this, and this is something dealing with the angels acknowledge. They was acknowledging Jesus to be the shepherd. See, when you're acknowledging Jesus, He's right there with you. But when you ain't acknowledging He won't be there, which if you don't acknowledge and you go in your own way, well, you're losing something that precious. You're losing the battle.
That's right. You know, Evangeline, I inject just a few minutes and I'm going to let you go. As you were saying, that is so true. And as I was thinking and reading the scriptures along with you on the shepherd, and we have so many false shepherds that's out there now, that's leading people straight to hell. And people are following them, not knowing. But once God take the blinders off of their eyes for them to see, they should get up then and be about God's business, doing what God say for them to do. It's so many shepherds that you feel you're under them for so long. And as you were saying, you know, they are supposed to be led by God. So they have things come up in their lives that, like all of us, have problems, trials, and tribulation. But you will be able to tell and see and know when these things are going or when they occur. But when things, you know, is brought to your attention, like you say, the shepherd is supposed to know his sheep that God had given him. If one leaves, just like the shepherd went out to find that one sheep to bring back to the fold, you know, it's so sad how so many people nowadays are just leaving the church. The shepherd don't know why they left, or if they sit down and tell the shepherd why they're leaving. And they're quick to tell the flock if God has sent them on a mission and told them their seasons are up. So many come in and say that God didn't tell them that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't their season. And, you know, you're in church after church. You're looking at your leader that God has given to you to be a guide, to be shepherd, a watchman over your soul. And when you see with the naked eye spiritually what God is showing you, and they're standing before you telling you, don't do this, don't do that, but God is showing you through them a total different story. Tell me, man of God, what do you do in that instant? You know, you come up, you know, you saying, and we were just talking about that today on our prayer line, on some of these things that we're going to talk, we are talking about today on Shepherd. And this is, I brought this topic up today because I know a lot of listeners are sitting in church right now, feel they want to leave, they're scared to leave, they don't know what to do, but they know the shepherd that's watching over their soul are not living up to the standard. God said, not we. We are not judging, but you see it week after week in the different churches throughout the land. It's not one specific body, but throughout the land, we are having people that's having struggles on what they should do. So, man of God, inject right now and tell the listening audience, and by chance, anyone that have tuned in by the computer or listening, want to call in, this is the number you can call in, is 646-716-4389. That number again, if you want to call in, is 646-716-4389. You can go on, Evangelist.
Yes, you said some things there that was very and important about people that if they're not fed right, and some just make them decide whether to leave the church and separate it from that type of atmosphere because they don't want to, they've been there so long, and what's happening is that they're getting drained. They don't have that great move of God, and because if the shepherd's not feeding right, it's time you get some place where you know that you know that you need to be refilling, because if the shepherd, he'd have lost out. He'd lost something out of him. If he had it from the beginning, it should have been there from the beginning. It should have continued on. But when you get in flesh, well, the flesh that takes and do what it wants to do and takes the eyes, you take your eyes off of God and take your eyes on the flesh, and then the flesh begin to feed what they want to feed out of. That's why people are hurt because of what they're saying. And you got some, and maybe some shepherds may try to, they may speak some harsh words, or you try to beat people, and you can't beat people to make them be saved. You can't force nothing on nobody that want to live the righteous, live this righteous life before God. You can't force anything on them. Saying, because if you do, then that's just drive. That's make a hardship on them, and that really brings them down, and they feel incapable to do what God want to do. And then that fear comes, fear overtakes them, and they feel so sorry. You know, they seem like it's just a burden. They seem like they just come to the house, but they don't receive anything. They're there, but they're not getting what they want to get from God. It's the same. If there's not anointing there, well, you're not going to feel the presence of God. That means that something is missing out of the church. Something wrong with the pastor, or something wrong with the congregation of people. Well, they don't know how to worship God. If you don't know how to praise God, you got to bring God in. If you don't bring him in, you can't have anointing in your service. Because we always hesitant all the time, and if you steady talking all the time, well, you, the Spirit of God can't come in because people still in their own setting. But when you David said in the book of Psalms, you did not enter into this courtship with thanksgiving praise. So if you get praised in the church, worship in the church, and blessings come down up on you. But if there's nothing going on in the church, then you know you're drying up. It's time for you to move someplace that you know that you get, that you need a new fresh a word into, a fresh word to move you. Not, I'm not telling people to leave their church, but you need to seek God first.
Mm-hmm.
And let God give you the okay. But God will speak to you. He knows what's going on in the church. I can't make people, or I can't force people, but God, he knows how to get you attention to the people. You know how to get attention to the leaders.
Yes.
If the leaders are willing to listen, they would hear what he said. But if they don't want to listen, they continue going in the same way every week, the same thing, because if you're not listening to God, God always, he's always sharing his word. But if there ain't no power behind his word, how can you expect something to go, how can you expect something to move in your church? You got to have some power behind what the shepherds have to have power of God. And they must have that. They must have that dunamis power of God.
Mm-hmm.
They must have power of God that be able to break yokes, destroy yokes, set people free. They need a fresh anointing, or the God fresh anointing on that pastor. He lay hands on you. The anointing goes out of him into you. You get the fresh anointing. Your spirit get refreshed again. But if he hasn't got anointing on it, and he never lay his hands up on, that means there's something missing out of him. And
mm-hmm.
But if you let the man of God is the shepherd, if he's been in the presence of God, that anointing stays on him. And you'll know when he lay hands up on it, something automatic goes in you and this charges your spirit, charges your life, to give a life-giving word into you, speak a life-giving word. And they come direct from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that a shepherd has paid a price for. They pay the price for spending time with God to feed the flock. If you don't spend the time with God, how you can feed the flock? You won't know anything how to feed the flock because you ain't in the presence of God.
Because
God, he's a God that he loves his people, especially his shepherd, to get before him that they'll know what to feed the people. In this day and time, they have to get before God, because if they don't, that's a falling away. Well, they're falling away because they're not getting the anointing of God over their life. So they fall. Well, they fall at short. What they short at, short in error, they're not getting what God wanted them to get it in. So they've missed the point. God wanted to do it, but if the shepherd's not seeking God, he can't expect the people to really get hope to God.
Yeah.
They go in the same way they go in, the same way they come out.
Come
they didn't receive.
So true.
But they got to be strong in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be weak. You got to be strong. Don't give in. Don't let the devil know exactly you're weak. Because if he know you're weak, well, he's going to keep doing what his best is to draw and sift you as wheat, or what he pull out what you got in you, get you weak to the point where you can't praise God, where you go into church and instead of watching other people, instead of going in and get what you want from God, well, they ain't praising God, you praise God. You lift God up. You're going in and get what God got for you. Because everybody don't want to be on one accord. But sometimes you got to go on yourself and get what you can get out of God yourself. But that's the purpose of going, is to receive from God.
You're not going to just
to please it. I know you're going there to hear your pastor,
mm-hmm.
but you're really going there to hear the word of God.
That's right.
Word comes further. The word is what's going to set you free. If the anointing is there, the presence of God will be there. But if the anointing is not there, the presence of God is not going to be there. You got to go where the presence of the Lord is. He comes in the volume of his book, but also he comes in the presence. And then the presence, if you come in the presence, that's a great anointing. Where the shower's down upon you, leave out of place. As they say, you come out as a drunk person. You'll be so drunk in the spirit. You leave out, God pulls that joy back in you because you heard a word that moved your spirit, then worked your spirit, and the presence of God gets so dominated over you. It just overtakes you. It moves you in another area with God. It lifts your spirit up. And you go to the depths of God. God goes deeper down in you. And just a spontaneous a word that goes in the person and set him free. And
mm-hmm.
That's why he's humble. I mean, the Son says free is free indeed. He's free because of the word.
Yes,
the word
right.
saturates you. The word overtakes you. The word brings knowledge to you. The word brings understanding. The word will speak and it'll keep you. The word protects you. It's the word how we speak the word, how we live the word, how we talk the word. And it brings such flavor to us because we love the word, because the word is the ingredients, what you add to it. That's why he's talking about seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things to be added. What it's adding to, it's the adding of the word. It breaks down the barrier. It breaks down things in your life, things that you know that's been short. And just by hearing it, and just by faith cometh by hearing. The hearing come out of the word. So we hearing words. We're hearing a word from preached from the word because it's sound. It's a word sounds. It sounds so great because it comes sudden. That's why I always thought you said a sound from heaven. It comes like a mighty rushing wind. It's filled. What it's filled, the house. It's filled your house. Your house when it's dry. when it's dusty and everything that is cloudy in your house, well, the Holy Ghost come in and sweep it clean and put the Spirit of God back into the house. The house get all decorated, God, and decked out again, because it's the presence of God overtakes the house. The presence of the house comes, when the presence of God comes in, it's abundant of rain falls, and you feel His presence almost an instant. It's the presence of God. There's someone on the phone today. I just feel the presence of God upon your life. I feel God's going to do something in your life. You're hearing this word today about God speaking to you. He's speaking directly to you. You need a miracle. God's going to give you that miracle because your heart is ready to receive. Your heart is ready to take hold of what God got. Do not worry about your problems. Your problems is already solved. You just got to trust God and lean to God. Don't try to hold and try to do it yourself. Let God do it. God has already got to set everything in order. But it's present. It's the presence of God. It's the anointing of God. It's the move of God, the shaking of God, the willing of God. All men, all walks of life, all pastors everywhere, across this world, everywhere, God is dealing with pastors, letting you know the time is short, yes. Letting people know they got to get their house in order.
Yes.
Got to
yes.
get the house in order to meet God. But the warning is, it's a watchman that's watching every day, constantly watching. The watchman is Jesus. He's coming back. He's coming back very soon. But the people right now in every church everywhere need God. Just need God today, not tomorrow, but you need God today. This is the day that the Lord has made. And let us know that rejoice and be exceedingly glad in God's presence. It's His presence today. The shepherd is the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ. And He is the one, is the watchman over the shepherds in this day and time. Every shepherd that's called in the fivefold ministry, is God responding to their cry. They want to be better. It's something you have to deny yourself and pick up this cross and follow Him daily. And there's so many people that are leaving this world. Shepherds are leaving this world.
Yes.
Every time, every minute, every second, somebody is going somewhere.
Yes.
But the shepherd's got to be obedient to God. He'll live his days out when he be obedient to God. He will fulfill everything that God called him in. Sickness and diseases should not be on a shepherd. Because God, he always keep you in good health. Jesus always was a shepherd that never was sick, but he was acknowledging God. He lived the life. When you live the life, God protects you. He don't let nothing come up on you. But if you don't live the life, things come up on you. Affliction comes. But it depends on where you're at with God. You got to live constantly before God. You can't just live once in a while and you think you're living the right, but no, you got to live the way God called you to live. You got to live perfect in His eyesight. You got to be doers of word, not just only hearers. Got to be active of living that life that God wants you to do and taking you to everything. You great teachers out there. There's great many teachers out there. Know the word, greatly know the word. But still we got to know God.
That's
we still
right.
got to know God.
Not to know
we
God.
May know the word from Genesis to Revelation. We still got to know Him. Because He is
right.
all it's all about Him. It's not about us.
That's
right. God's calling on the shepherd. You got to know God. You got to know Him. As He is, He's a God that never slumbers or sleeps, but He's always on time. He's never late. That's why He's an omnipotent God. God is a God that never slumbers or sleeps. He is the promises. He is the way. He is the true life. So if we walk in His presence, we'll be doers of His word. Well, He performed what He said. The shepherd is the one that God looked to lead His people. In this day and time, we need a leader.
Yes,
shepherds are leaders.
Yes,
and we must listen to them. You, some people say, "Well, I don't have to have a pastor." Over. Yes, you do. You have to have a pastor. Over. That's the only way that God wouldn't ever put pastors in, even then to put them here to teach people. But you can't teach yourself. It takes God to teach you through the pastor.
That is so true.
The pastor has a responsibility to carry out what God called him to carry out. But that pastor still have to obey God. He have to do what God tell him to do. He got to know Him, and pastors cannot do things underhand and expect God to do what He said He was going to do.
That's right. That is so true.
God is looking for true men of God. There's a lot of false men that saying they know God, but if they're not knowing the God, you're in a dangerous what they call a dangerous position.
That's right.
A pastor's in a dangerous position. And
yes,
you don't recognize it now, but you are in a dangerous position because God called you. If he called you in that area, you better obey God because you don't know what lies ahead of you.
That's
you,
right.
You can't do many things and thinking that you got to have that godlike faith in God or have that godly love of God. That's what God expects you to do.
That is so true, man of God. And it's getting close to our time to leave
okay.
the air. Our topic is so good, I don't even want to get off of it. And we had quite a few callers that wrote in on Say Things that was listening, and we want to thank everyone that participated in, whether you listened by the computer, by your phone, but we want to even welcome Prophetess Chandra to the line today. If she's on, I thank her for coming on. But, man of God, would you give us a closing prayer, and
yes.
they can go on the archives and get all the rest that have been said today. If they came on late and they missed it, they can come on and just listen. And we're going to have a very good topic for all our listening next week. And if I'm not mistaken, it's fasting.
Yes.
So we want everyone to please be on. But we are trying to come up with the
yes.
topics God give us that we know are to help the people that's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So, Evangelist, would you go ahead and give us a prayer and minister to those that's listening in today?
Okay. All right. God bless you. Thank God for the day. We thank God for doing what he said he was going to do. And that's everybody right now in the name of Jesus. Let the presence of God be over. And at this point in time, as we get ready to go, we ask you to let the Lord, oh God, rest upon you, abide upon you. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we just thank everyone for listening in and tuning in. And instead of being for 45 minutes, we're going to start being on for an hour from 10 to 11. So we want y'all to continue on listening in. And don't forget, keep encouraging yourself. No matter what you're going through, just encourage yourself today. Bye-bye.